Well, it sounds like my theme song is gone once again, so we'll just start without the theme song. Welcome to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And my guest today is calling from South Carolina. It is she's probably best known for her time, 19 years, on Hee Haw. And it is Misty Rowe. Misty, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there you are. I got a bit of an echo here for some reason, but we're coming through, I guess. Yes, Misty has a book coming out called Misty Memories that will be coming out on December 7th. We'll give you more information on and how to order yours later in the program. So how you doing, Misty?
Well, I'm just doing great. As you said, I live in South Carolina, and I worked for 20 years in Nashville, Tennessee, and also in Los Angeles as an actress and singer, and now I write and direct.
Okay, that's what you're currently doing. Of course, you had some other... Well, let's talk about your time on Hee Haw. What was that like working with that cast?
Oh, it was crazy. They were so much fun. And I was so young when I started, and here I was working with the greatest musicians in country music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my drummer, Willie Ackerman, he had been the drummer on the recording of Crazy for Patsy Cline.
Oh, that's neat, yes.
And, of course, Roy Clark and Buck Owens were the host.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fiddlers and banjo players and great, great comics. And most of the men, they played tricks on me because I was very young and very naive, especially Archie Campbell. He was always teasing me. And then Junior Samples, he was selling cars, and I became the BR-549 girl.
Yes, weren't you the first one?
Yes.
Okay,
We sold cars together, Junior Samples and I. And then another year, he did magic tricks.
Yes.
And I became his magician's assistant, and he actually sawed me in half.
Oh. So you had a good time on Hee Haw, sounds like. What was Junior like? Go ahead.
He was a very sweet man. He died far too young.
Yeah.
And I knew his wife, Grace, and I'm friends with his son, Lee Samples. And, you know, we were great sidekicks. There was something about him so innocent and funny and pure country. And I was so naive, and the girl, the blonde with the squeaky voice.
That's you.
I talk like this all the time. You know, so when I was young, I had a very squeaky voice. And that didn't leave me until childbirth. So.
Oh, yeah.
But Hee Haw, the Hee Haw people were my second family. They really were. And so many of them have passed on now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many stories about them. And, you know, from Roy Clark to Buck Owens to Minnie Pearl. Of course, Lulu Roman and I,
mm-hmm.
we did a spinoff of Hee Haw called Hee Haw Honeys. And Lulu and I were the first Hee Haw Honeys with Kathy Lee Gifford, who played my sister.
Oh, okay.
So it was my second family, and I really did love them so.
Now, on Hee Haw Honeys, I believe that that Lulu and somebody were your parents, and they ran a diner?
Lulu was my mother.
Okay.
Kenny Price was
Kenny
my
Price.
Daddy.
Yes.
And Gaylord Sartain was my brother. And Kathy Lee Gifford was my sister. And I was the waitress in the cafe,
mm-hmm.
and people would come in, and they would sing for their supper. And we had great, great guests. We had Conway Twitty. We had the Oak Ridge Boys. We had Loretta Lynn. It was just one, you know, Mickey Gilley, one great performer after the other. And because Hee Haw Honeys was a smaller cast and done on one set, you really got to know the guest stars when they came in, and we all got very, very close.
Sounds like a fun time. What about Gaylord? What was he like to work with? He is a funny, funny man, very talented.
He's probably the funniest actor I've ever known.
Yeah.
And he comes from Oklahoma, and Gaylord would also play tricks on me.
Oh.
But he was hired for Hee Haw the same day I was hired, along with a beautiful young woman by the name of Marianne Gordon.
Okay, I remember her, yes.
And she then led, later on, like in 2 or 3 years, Marianne and I were on Hee Haw when this guy walked on to the set with long hair and an earring and pink glasses on and this really scruffy beard, and he had this jacket with like foxtails hanging all over him.
Really?
And I said, "Who is that?" And one of the band members on Hee Haw said, "That's Kenny Rogers. He used to be somebody."
Oh, okay.
Kenny, of course, had been with the First Edition, and they had several hits, and after they broke up, Kenny was trying to go on his own and have a recording career, and at the time he met Marianne on the set of Hee Haw, he was actually singing in bars and lounges. And Kenny met Marianne and I the same day, and we became friends, and they fell in love, and they were married for 13 years.
Oh, sweet story. Any other recollections on Hee Haw you want to pass along before we move on?
Well, Minnie Pearl was one of my dearest friends on Hee Haw, and of course she was much older than I was, but she sort of mentored me on how to treat my fans and how to work with people and think of them as a second family and not just people you have a gig with or you just work and work ends and you go on to something else. That
right.
These would be your second family, and the relationships you made on our set of Hee Haw would endure a lifetime. So she taught me about this. She was a very tender soul. She was very, very funny. But she was smart as a whip, had a heart of gold, and she really could help a young girl just breaking into show business. She helped me quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. Grandpa Jones. I understand that Grandpa Jones had friends here near Marion, Ohio. And some nights after the Grand Ole Opry, he'd head up this way. So I don't know where he went or who the friends were, but I thought that was interesting.
I don't know, but he had a nickname.
Oh!
I mean,
can you
Gordy Tapp always called him Pa and Old Leather. And do you know why they called him Old Leather?
I'm not sure.
For his boots.
Oh, yeah.
He was left a pair of boots by a musician he dearly loved. He had these old leather boots, and he left them to Grandpa when he died.
Oh.
And of course, they were old then, and Grandpa wore them out, and so he had to have them resold, but he would never allow the tops to be touched. So they were really like scruffy and soft and old looking, and Gordy Tapp would always call Grandpa Old Leather.
Oh, my. That's quite a story.
I want to tell you a story about Ohio
that
you may not know.
Sure.
My very first fan club president lived in Cleveland, Ohio, and his name was Julius Kovacs. And he has passed on now, of course. But for 10 years, he ran my fan club. We became best friends, and he would drive from Ohio to wherever I was at to visit me.
Mm.
He would drive to Nashville when I was shooting Hee Haw. He drove to California when I lived there. When I lived in New York for a short amount of time, he drove up there to see me. So we were very, very close, Julius and I. But I would always get letters from Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that fan club still in existence?
Well, what I have now is I have a Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
And my fans are on there. I also have my own website, mistyrowe.com, and they can see pictures of my career, and they can get my email address there, and they email me.
Okay.
And, of course, I have a book coming out, and I know you wanted to talk about that later,
Please,
if you
sure.
can. But I just want to tell you, it's called Misty Memories, and it's my autobiography. It is my entire life. And my daughter, who's 28, her name is Dreema, she has begged me for years to write a book on my life and career. And I said, oh, who would buy it? And she goes, well, I would. And she goes, oh, Mom, you've really got to write the story of how you came about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did you get on TV? What were the people like that you worked with? All the ups and downs you had. I want you to write it all down, because I had my television career before my daughter was born. I had my daughter at when I was 42 years old.
Okay.
So I had done everything I could possibly want to do on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done movies and plays. And then when my daughter was born, I raised her. And I went on to have a fabulous stage career with personal appearances and musicals. And I became a professional director.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Ohio last year.
Oh, you were.
And a lot of people turned out for Cornfield Friends.
Yes.
That's a show I do with Jana Jay and Buck Trent, and Lulu Roman. And I even had my own cornfield.
Oh, yeah?
So I can always put that in the back of the car. I mean, I'm not kidding. Faye Sloan, who was the clothing designer on Hee Haw, she designed a portable cornfield for me.
Oh.
And it can be put in boxes and put in the back of my Jeep. And anywhere I can drive, I can take my cornfield with me. It just went to, let's see, last year it went to Virginia to shoot a PBS special.
Mm-hmm.
The Cornfield Friends celebrating Hee Haw's 50-year anniversary. Can you believe it's been around that long?
It's hard to believe, and I have caught part of that, so yes. Well, since you mentioned your book, and we'll mention this again later, but if you want to order a copy, you can go online to www.mistyrowebook.com, and I do believe it's also going to be available on Amazon, right?
Yes, starting December 7th, it will be on Amazon.com, and it is called Misty Memories, and the reason it's called that is my daughter, Dreema, wanted me to write all my memories down.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother died of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter said, you should write all your memories down, Mom, and all the people you work with and the people you loved, in case there comes a time you don't remember.
Right.
I can read the book back to you.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should all write a book.
I think so. Everyone should have a journal or a blog or a book or something, but it took a very long time, and I have to say I could never, ever have done it without two things. One is Scott England, the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's incredible. And Scott publishes books on country stars.
Okay.
His publishing company is out of Nashville, and he's always very, very, very busy. And I met him because of Lulu Roman and her assistant, Kim. Mm-hmm. He had done a book on Lou. And she called it, this is my story, this is my song.
Right.
And Lulu and Kim gave me a copy of the book and signed it to me. And I said, oh, who is this man, Scott England, who published it? And they said, oh, he's a wonderful man, and he's your biggest fan. He bought your bed.
Okay.
And I said, what? And if you watch Hee-Haw, you know I was with Junior Samples, mm-hmm. selling cars. And when Junior died, I no longer had a skit, a comedy skit to do on Hee-Haw. I would just be in the cornfield or the gossipy with the girls around the wash tub, mm-hmm. but I didn't have a skit of me with someone else. So they decided to write Misty's bedtime stories for me. And I was in a big brass bed with a big storybook, and I told these fractured fairy tales that always had a moral to them, and they were always kind of all mixed up. I don't know if you saw them, but they were so, so cute.
I have caught one or two of those, yes.
Yes, and they're very, very funny. And when Hee-Haw ended, they took all the set pieces and they auctioned them off. They sold them all off. And one thing they sold was my brass bed. And a man named Scott England in Nashville bought my brass bed because he's a collector of memorabilia. And he had many things from other stars. But he bought my bed, and he told the man, this is going to be one purchase that is going to be very hard to explain to my wife. So when I heard that this man had bought my bed, well, maybe he'll remember me. So I called him up.
Yeah.
And I talked with him, and he was so busy writing everybody else's biographies. He said, but Misty, you know, when it comes the time when I have time, I am your biggest fan. So let's keep in touch. Well, then the pandemic hit. And I don't know about you, but so many people I know who are performers, we just can't work right now.
Right.
And the last time I worked was March 1st at the American Music Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Always Patsy Cline. And it was huge. There were 1,500 people giving a standing ovation at curtain call. And the Patsy singer and I, we went backstage, and we usually go out front and we sign autographs. And the producer said, not today. None of the cast is to go out front. Mm-hmm. Everybody is to stay backstage. And when you leave, leave by the back. And we thought, what is going on? Well, March 2nd, I flew home from Pennsylvania, and people in the airport had masks on. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my gosh, is it the virus? Is it that bad? Well, when I got home, I found out that, yes, it was coming, and it was very contagious, and it was that bad.
Right.
So everything just shut down. And then Scott England called me, and he said, I really wanted to do your book, but you live so far from me. You're a nine-hour drive. And with the pandemic, I just don't see how we can do it. Well, then my husband got on the phone, and he said, have you thought of Zooming? And he said, you could actually see each other face-to-face and Zoom all your interviews, all your meetings on Zoom. And Scott didn't think it would work, but guess what? It did.
Mm-hmm.
We met three times a week, and he interviewed me for hours and hours, and then he said, and it went on for months, and then he told me, he said, Misty, every person I know, especially a performer, has a box somewhere of press clippings, old photographs, mm-hmm. poems that you wrote or people wrote to you. He said, I want you to find that box, and I want you to send it to me. I said, okay, and I did, and then he said, I want you to send me all your pictures out of your scrapbook, and I want you to send me all the things from your childhood. And I was very blessed. My mother kept them, baby pictures and little clippings, and I sent them all. And they take them. You don't get to pick out what's in the book.
Oh.
They take them, and I'm very blessed to tell you they have used 225 pictures from my life.
Oh, my.
In the Misty Memories book.
Yeah.
And most of them are in color, and a lot of them are with very famous stars, from Elton John to Kenny Rogers and even Joe Namath, and of course Roy Clark and Buck Owens and the Hee Haw Girls and the Happy Days people. It's all in there. So to me, it's like a wonderful scrapbook of my entire life,
right,
with the best pictures and the best memories and some heartaches too, because no one really has a complete life without them.
That's so true. And just remaining in that box, nobody could really enjoy the highlights of your life like they can now.
Yes, because most of the pictures that are in the book, the general public has never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it really tells the story of how I grew up and what I went through and the people I met along the way who helped me. And then the great success of doing the shows that I did. I did Hee Haw for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did Happy Days for a year. And then Mel Brooks saw a picture of me in People magazine as Marilyn Monroe, and he had me come into Paramount Studios and audition for a new show he had called When Things Were Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
It was a farce on Robin Hood, and I played Maid Marian.
Yes, I watched an episode the other night. It's still out there.
Oh, I hope you watched my favorite one. It's called Wedding Bell Blues.
I don't believe it was that one, but yeah.
Well, that was written for me.
Okay.
And Mel Brooks flew in Marty Feldman,
mm-hmm,
from London to direct me in it. Do you remember Marty?
I do.
He was in Young Frankenstein.
Very funny man, yes. Yes, I do remember Marty.
Yes, he was very, very funny. And Dudley Moore,
uh-huh,
was to run away with me and marry me. And, of course, Robin Hood would try to stop the wedding and catch me because he loved me so. So it was, I mean, people were singing and dancing. And 1 week I'd work with Dudley Moore and Marty Feldman, and the next week I'd work with Sid Caesar, and then the next week Paul Williams. So it was an incredible opportunity for a young actress.
Well, sure,
to work with so many great stars and these seasoned comics and great directors. And I loved working for Mel Brooks. He let me wear more clothes than anybody.
That's a good thing.
Well, on Hee Haw, I was always in cut-off shorts and
yes,
tight little tops or little tiny dresses. But on When Things Were Rotten, because I was Maid Marian,
mm-hmm,
I had long gowns and I had headdresses and I had a cape. I even had a horse.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So it was a very interesting show to do.
Now, let's go back to about 1974. You were on Happy Days. I believe your name was Wendy?
Wendy the Car Hop.
Yes.
And I worked with Ron Howard,
mm-hmm,
and Henry Winkler and Donnie Most and Anson Williams. And they were great guys. And one of the things few people know is one of the first times that Ron Howard directed, he directed me.
Oh.
In a Happy Days episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was about voting, oddly enough. That's kind of timely.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy the Car Hop, she went to a rally and she had trench coat on, and she jumps up on the platform, and she goes, "It doesn't matter who you vote for. The important thing is you vote, vote, vote." And she takes off her trench coat, and she's got on this, like, 1960s one-piece hot pink bathing suit, and they all go, "Woo!" And a cute story about that was Ron Howard wanted to be a director. So the director of the show, Jerry Paris, kind of mentored him on how to direct television. And so he was directing that show that day, and Jerry was showing him what to do. And one thing you have to do when you're a director is to approve all the costumes. Mm-hmm. Not just direct the scenes and make sure they're lit well and they're acted well, but you have to approve of all the costumes and the props in that scene. So I was in my trailer in my trench coat, and it was a little bit cold, and there's a knock on the trailer door, and I open the door, and I go, "Yes?" And there's Ron Howard with Jerry Paris. And Jerry said, "Well," to Ron, he said, "Tell her to open the coat." And Ron just turned bright red, just bright red. And he looked down at the ground, and Jerry said, "She has to open the coat so you can see the suit. Mm-hmm. You have to okay the suit before she goes on the set. So don't make the poor girl walk out there and then it not have to be right and come back and have to change. You have to okay it now." So Ron looks up a little and he said, "I'm sorry, Missy, but could you just open the coat a little?" So, you know, I opened the trench coat and he looked at this bright pink bathing suit and he put his hand over his eyes and he said, "Oh, that's fine. That's just okay." You know, and he walked away. So I think he was kind of shy and kind of embarrassed, but a very sweet guy.
Yeah. How was Henry Winkler to work with?
Well, every woman in America was in love with Henry. And I was terrified of him because he was the Fonz,
hey.
You know, hey, he was the Fonz. And I worked with him, and he gave me some good acting tips. Mm-hmm. And when I left Happy Days, I did not see Henry again, I want to say, for 35 years. Mm. And I went to a function. And Henry was there with his son, and I had gone with my husband, and they went over to introduce me, and I said, "Well, I know Henry. I don't know if he'll remember me, but I do know Henry." And then I went over, and they said, "Henry, this is Misty." And Henry turned around, and he went, and he took my hand, you know, and he grabbed it, and he put it to his heart, and he looked at my husband, and he said, "I used to have such a crush on this woman." And I thought, he should have told me.
All those years, and you never knew.
I was too shy, and he never told me, so that was it.
So were you there with Happy Days from the very beginning?
I was there after the first 6 months.
Okay.
And what was unusual about my episodes is they were on film. They were not shot before a live audience on tape.
Okay.
They were on film, and the quality of it is just beautiful. And I, of course, worked at Arnold's Drive-In.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where most of my things were outside or by the cars, of course, and they had some great cars.
Yes, they did.
Or inside the diner.
Now, maybe you can solve a mystery for a lot of Americans. Maybe
what is
not.
That?
Whatever happened to Chuck, the other brother, on Happy Days?
I do not know that.
In the early episodes, there was another brother by the name of Chuck, and he loved to play basketball, but then he just suddenly...
They sent him off to college, and we rarely heard from him, and I think that was because they brought in a young actor to do a couple shows, and he wasn't the lead in those, couple shows, and he became the biggest star of the show, and that, of course, was the part of the Fonz.
Sure.
So he came in, and then I came on, and it was a wonderful year. There's a whole chapter in my book, Misty Memories, on Happy Days. And I'll tell you, everybody knows what happened to Ron Howard. Mm-hmm. You know, he became a great director. He wins Academy Awards. And then Henry Winkler is a producer and an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has now won an Emmy so for his show, Barry. He has won an Emmy. But did you know what Donnie Most became?
I don't know.
Donnie, of course, is a fabulous actor.
Mm-hmm.
But about a year ago, I became friends on Facebook with Donnie Most. And he has a big band. And he sings. And you would not believe his voice. He sings with a big band, and he's amazing. And I hadn't seen him, you know, in what, 40 years. And he said, Misty, if you're ever near where I am, you come and I'll get you tickets. I said, well, okay. But you're in California and I'm in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever come this way, you let me know and I'll come see you. Well, he came to North Carolina to do a show,
mm-hmm.
and he invited me, and it was like a 4.5-hour drive. But I said, okay, I'll come up. And Donnie said, and then my wife and I'll take you to dinner. I said, okay. He said, oh, and since you're coming all that way, why don't you sing a duet with me?
Oh.
And I said, but Donnie, I don't sing big band. I sing country, and I sing funny songs, and I'm a comic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, we'll do something light and fun. And we did a song called Making Whoopee.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience loved it, and they were all so kind when I came out on stage that we went to New York in January to do this big showcase at the Hilton Hotel, and all the buyers for the fairs and the theaters are there, and they buy for the next year. And we did a presentation of the show we would do together, comedy and singing. And we got booking after booking, and then, of course, the pandemic hit, and everything got rescheduled and rescheduled, then canceled, and now we are looking to 2021. Hopefully, you know, probably in the summertime or the fall, we can go out again and have live music and meet people.
That'll be nice, yes. Now, you've met Robin Leach and was on Lifestyles with the Rich and Famous, I believe.
I first met Robin Leach at a casino in Monaco. Have you heard of that in France?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I did Goodbye, Norma Jean, I was the first actress ever to play Marilyn Monroe in a film, and they flew me to the Cannes Film Festival, and that was amazing, all the photographers and the food, and we had screenings on the movie there, and then as a surprise, they took me to Monaco, and there's a big casino there, and I was having dinner, and I actually met Robin Leach, and we chatted, and he was such a fun man. And then years later, I was married to a soap opera star named James DePaiva. He was on a show called One Life to Live.
Mm-hmm.
And who comes on to Hee Haw as a special guest? But Robin Leach.
Oh, wow.
And of course, everybody wanted to do a scene with Robin, because he had the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and then he went on to have one called Runaway with the Rich and Famous. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought that was a better show for me, because you didn't have to clean your house to have everybody come in and film in your house.
Yep.
You got to go somewhere.
So that was a show.
And they took care of you, and they showed you things.
So that was a show you were actually
on. So he came on to Hee Haw, and I was very blessed that he would send me somewhere. And he sent me to Quebec. And I stayed in a castle. And the Queen's Guard came out, and they marched around. And I had a butler with white gloves who would serve me five different kinds of tea. And they let me drive a yacht, which I'd never done. And we went to a little island off of the St. Lawrence River and had lunch by an old mill. That was my favorite thing, I think, mm-hmm. that old mill. And it was just an amazing time. And, you know, if you work for Runaway with the Rich and Famous for 2 days, then they leave after they filmed you doing everything, and they give you another 2 days free. Mm. So I got to stay in that castle for another 2 days, and they sent a Rolls Royce to take me around everywhere.
Wow.
And then I came home and had to do my own dishes.
Had to come home and be a regular person again.
Yeah, I felt like Cinderella. Robin Leach made me feel like Cinderella.
Well, we're down to about 5 minutes, and I did want to touch on, you have played Marilyn Monroe in 2 different films, I believe.
I played it in one film called Goodbye, Norma Jean. I played Norma Jean. And the film actually ends when she becomes Monroe. And it is about the struggle of how she got to be Monroe. Mm-hmm. And that is why it's called Goodbye, Norma Jean. Because it's about the end of the girl and the beginning of the Hollywood persona. And then another film is called Goodnight, Sweet Marilyn, which they asked me to play Marilyn Monroe in, and I didn't want to do it at the time. I just didn't. I was pregnant and going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. So I did not do that one, but what they did was they took my film from 10 years earlier and they stripped it. They stripped all my footage of me as Norma Jean and Marilyn, and they put it into Goodnight, Sweet Marilyn.
Really?
Really. And I thought it was kind of strange, and the reviews came out, and it said, you know, Variety said, you know, anyone who sees this film will know it's 80% of Misty Rowe's film, Goodbye, Norma Jean. Mm-hmm. And I did get a really terrific review for Goodbye, Norma Jean, but it was really a painful movie for me to make most of the time. Because, gee, that poor kid, Norma Jean Baker, the things she went through and the struggle she had and the way she was treated when she first went to Hollywood just makes you want to cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sad story. So you didn't actually act in the second movie?
I did not. They used things from my first film. However, after my film had wrapped and it started to come out, the company sent me on like a whirlwind tour of the world mm-hmm. to open this movie. And I got to go to London. And I got to go to Italy, and I got to go to France and Australia. And it was really incredible. And when I was in London, I met Elton John, Sir Elton John. And what happened there was so incredible. that you're just going to have to buy my book to find out.
Well, let's just give that information once more. If somebody does want to order it, you can order it at www.mistyrowbook.com, or you can look on Amazon, and I presume that's not going to show up there until December 7th.
December 7th. But if you go to mistyrowbook.com, they're taking the pre-orders, and you will get your book first.
Okay.
And so, I mean, the book is literally coming out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And the people who go to the Misty Rowe book website right now in order, mm-hmm. they're going to get their book first. And they can buy the book and have it sent. They can buy an autographed copy of the book. Or they can even buy a Zoom signing.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, on Zoom, I will see them and they will see me, and we'll get to chat for 5 minutes, and I will personally autograph the book in front of them on Zoom.
Okay. Okay, that sounds like something we have to do because of COVID nowadays.
Yes, I can't go to a real bookstore and sign like that. But a lot of people like the Zoom because it's just one-on-one.
Right.
And they can ask me anything they want. And the time I Zoom with them is their time. You know, there aren't people looking over their shoulder, or
right.
you don't feel like you have to be rushed because someone's behind you in line. It's just our time together.
That's true. Well, Misty Rowe, thank you for joining us here, and I hope to talk to you again in the future.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
And
WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the place for holiday fun. For the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Here comes Santa Claus. Oh, no, wait. It's the golden voice.
Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays to all of our WWGH 107.1 FM listeners. Here, I'm going to do a classic. Are you ready? "Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up a sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew.